a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Senate State Affairs will come to order. Secretary will call the roll.
Here.
Quorum is present. You have the minutes. Is there comments, corrections, action?
So moved.
Motion by Gray, second by Garnos. Approval of the minutes. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. A couple announcements. First of all, we have... Yes. If you wish to testify today, although I doubt that we have much testimony, we'd ask you to sign at the podium by the front door. Also, you might want to check your cell phones. We have new pages. I only see one of them here today, but why don't you stand up and introduce yourself.
Where are you from?
Max Kennedy, Delmont,
South Dakota. Thank you. Welcome to Pierre. Thanks for your help. Any other announcements from the committee before we get started today? Okay, we will move right into our calendar with starting with Senate Bill 134. I spoke to the sponsor of that bill earlier today, Senate Bill 134 and 135. As you can tell, obviously, by reading the content of the bill, that these were introduced as vehicle bills, placeholders, if you will, and the sponsors assured me that there is no further need for them. Nothing arose out of that was appropriate for these titles, and so they've asked that these bills be tabled. So, starting with Senate Bill 134, I will open to discussion or action. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 134 to the 41st legislative day.
Motion by Senator Olson, seconded by Johnson. Comments on that motion? Seeing none. The motion is the 41st day, Senate Bill 134. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Senator Edelstein? Cutler?
Aye.
Barrett?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Gordon? Aye. Senate Bill 134 is deferred to the 41st legislative day. We will take up then Senate Bill 135, and again, same story as Senate Bill 134. I will open to discussion, comments, action. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Senate Bill 135 to the 41st legislative day.
Motion by Olson, second by Johnson, 41st day on Senate Bill 135. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Senator Edelstein. Cutler.
Aye.
Barrett?
Aye.
Garnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Rosen?
Aye. Motion carries. Senate Bill 134 is deferred to the 41st legislative day. That will bring us to Senate Bill 174. Just as a reminder to the audience and the committee members, we heard testimony on Senate Bill 174. I believe twice. We took some out-of-town testimony the first time, deferred it, took up the bill again, and heard proponent, opponent testimony and had a rebuttal. And I held action at that point. So that leaves us today. Wait for Stan to get here. That will leave us today at the point where I will open the committee now for questions. Senator Edelstein, we've just taken up Senate Bill 174, and since we've had previous hearing and heard proponent and opponent testimony and stopped just prior to questions, we're in the question stage now. There are questions from the committee. No questions. We will. I will open the committee then to discussion and/or action. Senate Bill 174. Senator Furix.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have an amendment, and I
guess if we just pass them down, is that fine? Or, sorry. There you go. Yeah, just make sure they get them all, please.
Hey, Senator Frerich, are you moving the amendment?
Yes, I move, I'm not sure everybody gets it, but Amendment 174, Frank Alpha.
I'll hold until everybody has a copy of the amendment.
This is to remove on food, remove this extra penny on food. I spoke with Senator Adelstein.
Okay. Motion by Senator Frerichs. Is there a second?
I'll second for the
verbal
discussion.
Okay. Second by Senator Adelstein. Comments on the motion, Senator Frerichs. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to Senator Adelstein. He certainly is this is his bill. He's the sponsor of the bill, and I appreciate his willingness to second the motion for discussion as far as this amendment. The amendment you have in front of you is strictly to remove this extra penny for the summertime off of food, and the unfortunate thing as far as the way our laws are written, there's a number of places where food is addressed, and that's why it has to be so many multiple page amendment, and you can certainly read through and find the rest. The reason I bring this amendment before you today, though, is that, you know, we during that summertime, if the true aim is to try to reach and grab some revenue from the tourists who come into our state, you know, they probably aren't purchasing very much food in the grocery store. They might be doing some, but more importantly, we have our people here in South Dakota that are purchasing that food in the grocery store that is unprepared, and to increase that tax on them, it would not be, I feel, going in the right direction, because, you know, they're the folks that are here in our state, and more than likely some of the more lower income with less disposable income would be forced to pay an increase in this tax. And to the best of my knowledge, the reason that's put on for the summertime is to grab some tourist revenue. So with that, I urge your support of the amendment. I think it makes the bill a little bit more palatable. Yes, it will give up somewhere in the neighborhood. I think maybe it could be 8% less as far as actual revenue. I'm not sure if that number sounds realistic, but that's somewhere in the neighborhood as far as about 8% less. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further comments on the motion to amend? Senator Adelstein.
Mr. Chairman, while I can appreciate the feelings that come to this, the complexities of the situation that we are in now with the numbers of bills that are offering with different kinds of numbers, I fear that this amendment would further confuse a very confused, if not a very caring, I mean, and a very caring legislature. So I would suppose I'd urge you to resist the amendment.
Further comments on the motion to amend? Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion to amend by Senator Frerichs. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
No. Motion fails. Further comments on Senate Bill 174? Further comments or discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I move do pass.
Motion do pass by Senator Adelstein. Is there a second? Second by Senator Frerichs. Comments on that motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adelstein.
There's a time when we offer bills, and I guess this is one that I've offered, where we become very identified with the bill itself. Since the time I offered it, that has gone away. But I've become very identified with those whom the cuts that we're facing injure. Therefore, I sought a survey by an independent conservative firm to see whether this was acceptable to the people of the state, and I found that it was. But as we've gone further on this issue, it's become no longer an intellectual or political exercise. It has become part of my heart and my obligation to other people. Saturday afternoon, well, it might not look like it, I had my beard trimmed and haircut at a barber shop in Rapid City, and my barber told me that she cuts hair for some people in wheelchairs, and that one of them, maybe two of them, had told her that they've heard about this cut and their medical care, and he said, I don't know what I'll do. I feel so trapped. A human being in this country, not Libya or Bahrain, feeling trapped by something that we can cure so easily, can cure by doing what the 74% of the people said that they wanted, by doing something that 73% of those of our party, more conservative than me, perhaps, in the Tea Party support. Dr. Stephen Benn is a neonatologist at Rapid City Regional Hospital. He talked to me very seriously about what happens in his practice. Black Hills, all of a sudden the name of the firm leaves me, but the largest Black Hills pediatric unit in the city sees about 43% of their patients are Medicaid. If this cut, if the cuts that have been proposed with hospitals and doctors, they can no longer do that. And I'll tell you why, because I asked Steve, I said, well, how do you decide? You see a pediatric baby, and he said, I have no choice. I must save a life. That's something that I absolutely must do. And so he does, everyone. But in the practice, they don't. So what I'm saying to you is this, that they're going to see less than the 43%. That means that a parent, unlike some of us, I had a grandson born with a triple, most serious cleft, but I could afford to pay for that. And he was in hospital, he's had surgeries. I went to Sioux Falls and saw a child 4 years old that hadn't had the operation that Adam, named for the first person, that Adam had 4 months. And there will be hundreds of these children, if not thousands of children, that are not going to get the medical care that they need. Wellspring takes children and young people, and I'm convinced from the individuals I talked to there, that those children, young people, teenagers, are going to either end up in Department of Corrections or they'll end up at Yankton. You saw a sheet, some of you, that I handed out listing the terrible things that happened. The individual who is now at home on a respirator, but he will no longer be able to be at home, and he'll try and find a nursing home who can't take him. What are we going to do with the people in the Kadoka nursing home where 70% Medicaid people? Where will they go? They can't go back to the ranch. They can't go to their kids that are in Oklahoma. When we go down this list of elderly nutrition, senior meals, it doesn't seem like very much money in the cut. But who are we in this land of opportunity, in this gorgeous state of South Dakota, to deny how we're going to feed them? We can't do it without money. And not only that, but this bill provides almost twice as much money as needed to cover every cut in this budget, plus either 30 or 40, depending on how you have, $40 million in federal money. So I beg you to pass this to the floor, and as we look into our consciences, do we as legislators, are we entitled? We've made positions, we have political beliefs, we've made decisions, but do we have the right to deny what 74% of our citizens apparently would accept, and to deny them their right to receive $40 million in federal monies that were appropriated, whether we like the federal government or not, and some of us hate it, but that money is theirs. They're entitled to it. So we should say to this man in the wheelchair, no, you may not have the support that you're now having with elder meals and medical care and assistance in paying for a new wheelchair. They will say to this parent of a child who is saved by Dr. Ben, but then can't get the next step. We can say to this person in a nursing home, we're sorry, we don't know what we'll do with you. We'll take the people at Wellspring and we'll say, okay, you know what, they're only children, they're poor children, they're probably not going to be educated very well anyway, so what the heck, let them go to DOC, let them go to prison. Can we do that in our hearts and our conscience? I beg of you, pass this to the floor and give the rest of our caucus a chance to vote and discuss it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll say no more. I've said too much already. Thank you for the time and the...
Thank you for the comments, Senator Gray.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Adelstein. I admire your passion and your heart, Senator. I, too, have problems with our budget. Right now, $30 million for Medicaid equals $70 million with federal dollars. We have $47 million cuts in education, over $10 million to the Regents, state employees who are also going another year without. And so, you know, I too feel that we need to solve this problem. And many of you know that I've been in the newspapers. I've been public that I would support something. I would support a tax increase, despite the constant emails and conversations with my conservative friends. The problem I have with this specific bill is this. I think what we end up doing here is we fix a temporary problem that really is a permanent problem. Now, a lot of people say we spend too much. Well, certainly expenses are something we have to look at. We need to be more efficient. But revenue has been a problem over the years as well. Revenue has been an issue in terms of inheritance tax. Video lottery, I think, is going down. Bank franchise tax, contractors excise tax. We've got a revenue issue as well. And I think we all need to admit that. And so my problem with the bill before us today is that, one, I think making anything temporary is a mistake. And two, I think we need to be very broad-based. This is why I don't support repealing it from food. And we need to have it year-round. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody up here wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear the fact that we need probably another penny permanently year-round that we're all paying. If we want government services, if we want our elderly parents and grandparents to have adequate care, be it medical care or nursing home care, then we need to pay for it and not just put it on tourists. Hey, I like the fact that we put some on tourists. Don't get me wrong. 25% to 30%, most people think. But we need to at some point stand up and say, hey, we have some bills to pay, let's pay them, whether that's education or whether that's Medicaid or whether that's taking care of state employees who are plowing our roads. God knows we needed them plowed this last weekend. Sometimes we need to just stand up and say, we need to do it, we need to do it right. My problem, Senator Adelstein, with your bill is that I think it's a temporary fix. I applaud your passion and your heart for this, but this is not the proper channel.
Other comments, Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I said at the beginning of session that I wanted to keep options open. While I worked my way through the process of determining what I thought was necessary in order to deal with our budget situation. While I determined whether or not there were deficiencies in our proposed budget that I felt that couldn't be sustained, cuts that were, to me, would be too deep and cause continuing and perhaps permanent damage. As we move through the process, I have come to the determination that I believe there are areas, particularly the areas of education and our Medicaid providers, in which I think that some relief needs to come. And I appreciate that there are some other bills and some other ideas bubbling through this capital that may provide some of that relief. But I believe that Senate Bill 174 is a legitimate alternative. And I think it is certainly one of the ways that we can address the current budget proposal that's before us. And so based on that, I'm going to be in support of this bill and this motion. Thank you.
Further comments? Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I'd offer a substitute motion of deferring 174 to the 41st day.
Substitute motion by Olson. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Garnos. Comments on the substitute motion? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to Senator Adelstein, even though in his comments he said that he's separated from the bill by the people. He's invested his own personal dollars into this bill. He's put finances that could have went to other resources or other bills that Senator Adelstein may have at home and put it into a study and putting a study in or a poll in front of the people. And whether or not one agrees with the numbers that resulted in the poll, he certainly has went above and beyond what most legislators need to do out in Pierre as far as taking on an issue. So I compliment him for that. My problems with the bill is that South Dakota's already seen a temporary infusion of capital into our budget, and it came via the stimulus. And with all of the hundreds of millions of dollars that South Dakota saw via the stimulus, we still find ourselves in a structural deficit mode. And so by, as Senator Gray touched on, a temporary infusion of cash, whether it be 1 year, 2 years, 4 years, it still leaves us with the problem of a structural deficit. Until we get to that point, we aren't going to be able to see increases to education and Medicaid providers and our state employees, not to mention our roads. I mean, when all of this white stuff that surrounds us melts, it's going to cause some pretty substantial damage to our rural roads. And our farm-to-market roads support our number one industry. We've got to start looking at that as well. And the permanent nature of a revenue source, I think, can only be accomplished once we truly get to the reset button that the governor's talked about and in making these tough decisions to make cuts to our ongoing budget. The federal funds that are in question as part of the matching, I mean, let me remind you as well, those are our tax dollars as well, and the country's broke. We're borrowing money from China, and there could be a day where they're going to actually call the note. And so the rest of the nation is looking at South Dakota to provide examples of how states should balance their budgets. And I would hope that you would support my motion to move 174 to the 41st day.
Further comments? Senator Furrigs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and certainly respect the good leader's motion on deferring to the 41st day. I'm going to reject this motion more so because I think it's important that we have a fair discussion on the floor of the South Dakota State Senate. I would much rather have us perform this discussion on the floor of the Senate than in some sort of backroom, closed meeting, some sort of deal that's hashed out, especially if it ends up being on the last day. And when I say those comments, I do not mean those in you know, singling anybody out, but we know that occasionally happens and that's part of politics. I'm not insinuating that it has happened yet. And I think we're at a point here where we can send a little bit of a different message, especially a message to the state of the people throughout South Dakota that that we want to have some very good discussion about what needs to be accomplished. And I respect, you know, a few of the previous comments that say, well, it's just temporary. But I think more importantly, all of us on this committee know that this bill is more so a vehicle in some sort of nature. And obviously there's ways to suspend the rules, there's ways that things can come back and forth and it can be done, but one of the most open and honest and fair discussions that can happen is to allow a 174 to go to the floor. If there's further amendments, that's fine. We can deal with it there. But if we think that if there is going to be some sort of avenue for a sales tax increase, and if it's going to come in some sort of effort of a complete hog house and try to resurrect something else and then bring it back up and only allow a little bit of discussion and then go ahead and vote on it, I think that's doing a disservice to the people of South Dakota. This bill obviously is intentioned for a sales tax increase, and I think taking it to the floor would be worthwhile. As far as temporary in nature, I certainly understand. We want to look at ways that we can identify one-time expenses and one-time revenues and keep those separate. If there's anything temporary, we want to try to make sure and realize that it's only going to be there for a little while. We can't get addicted to it. We can't forget about the structural deficit. But let's look around a little bit. Right now, throughout the state of South Dakota, our agriculture sector, both livestock and crop side, is literally booming. I mean, it's on fire. There's good things happening out there. There's real wealth throughout our rural communities in the agriculture sector, and we spend our money. If I'm in Watertown and I stop into a local place where they sell appliances and they say, yeah, I don't forget back in, what was it, probably 07 or 08, when crop prices were just as good, they said farmers were not only buying appliances, they were buying stainless steel washer and dryers and the best refrigerators and things like that. You know, that's real wealth that's happening throughout South Dakota. And so I think we need to be realistic that our economy in South Dakota, we have been insulated a little bit from what's happening on the national level. Things are starting to pick up, and that's where we need to be, you know, realistic on where revenue is going to be situated. Lastly, I want to leave you with this point. If we think that we should never entertain the idea of looking at some temporary options, I would ask you this. You know, maybe we should take another idea from North Dakota. They do a few things right up in North Dakota. But you know what? When do they meet? Every couple of years, and they take care of their budget. Well, to me, it almost sounds like that we would just soon do a two-year budget and have things figured out that way. We meet every year as a legislature here in South Dakota. We're here to do the people's work. We take the issues, I hope, you know, face value and work with them. And I ask that you please vote no on this motion to defer to the 41st day. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further comments on the substitute motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adelstein.
My arguments on the need have already been made, but I respect very much the President Pro Tem and the Majority Leader, and I want to address the temporary nature. It's temporary because it fills a temporary need. We have had a temporary drop in earnings in this state, and now they're coming back. So it's a one-time solution for a one-time need. It's temporary because we've had a temporary fall in the stock market, in the Dow Jones, and in the values of our four major trust funds, which have already recovered significantly. If those remedies are as strong as I think they are, we might not need 3 years. Why did I take the summer months? Because it's the easiest time for all of us to pay a short tax, and it makes it a small amount that comes each of the 3 years, $50 million a year. Please resist this motion. And if you prefer that it be amended on the floor after discussion to either shorten the time because of the temporary nature or because of the fix of one-time problem, I'd be willing to do it. Or if you want to change the priorities of the application of the money, which is now goes in the general fund, we could change those as well. But we cannot. I just beg you, and that's the only word I can use, is I'm a beggar, like I tell you. I beg you not to take away 70 million from the people that most need it and are the least able to speak for themselves. Thank you.
Further comments on the substitute motion? Substitute motion is to defer to the 41st day. Any other comments? Well, I'd like to close with a couple of comments, and my comments basically come from the philosophy side of it. I think that we've had a number of conversations where there's a number of bills that that would solve our problems and our crisis, the budget shortfalls by increasing our taxes. We've had experience in the past with dealing with budget shortfalls, and I've always thought of a tax increase as a means of last resort. We're about just over halfway through our session. We have crossover day tomorrow, and I think that we can learn a lesson from the past. I think it's clear that it's a flawed philosophy to think that you can tax your way out from under a recession. The comment was made that the revenues from this tax increase would cover all the governor's budget shortfalls. So is that the direction we want to go with just doing business as usual? We've even heard from superintendents in the state that have commented to the effect that, you know, we should look at some of these cuts as possibly an opportunity to seek out and the Trojan horses or government waste. And so I think the option that's in front of us would short circuit that process. And if you question that, all we have to do is look back a few years ago when the stimulus dollars came peeking over the horizon. We were at the point, as a number of other states were, that we were this close to making some serious decisions about cutting the size of government and taking a closer look at the way we do government in the state. And when we were that close, word came that stimulus dollars were on the horizon. And we scampered for cover like a bunch of cockroaches when the lights went on until we received those dollars. And what happened to the cuts? They evaporated. That would happen here in a heartbeat. So why would we, at this point, not allow the process to work and to find the best way to administer government and finding the most efficient way to do so? Also, I do want to comment just on the subject of the polling that's taken place. I think that from my perspective, we have a republic for a reason. And I don't believe that it's at all proper way to administer government or to make decision based on polls. That's why we're set up with a republic, not a pure democracy. One last comment as far as the ag industry. It seems like the cattle industry always booms when I have nothing for sale. but for the cattlemen, we have not seen the boom in the economy. And certainly I think that when we look at revenue, when we talk about a 1 cent tax, temporary or otherwise, you know, it's touted as being insignificant. We need to bear in mind in this case it's what, $40-50 million that we're taking out of the economy to continue to do government as usual in the state. And for those reasons, ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to support the substitute motion to defer to the 41st day. With that, the motion then is substitute motion to defer to the 41st day, Senate Bill 174. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Nay.
Butler? Aye.
Eric?
No.
Barnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Johnston?
Aye.
Motion carries. Senate Bill 174 is deferred to the 41st legislative day. And that will bring us to the end of today's calendar. By way of announcements, because of the schedule and an oversight on my part and perhaps my secretary's, we did not put together a schedule for tomorrow's state affairs meeting. in time to meet the deadline. That would have had to, that schedule would have had to been done last Thursday, and obviously we didn't get it done. So there will be no State Affairs Committee hearing here tomorrow. The next committee hearing for the Senate State Affairs will be on Friday. Any other announcements, questions, Senator Johnson? Motion to adjourn by Johnson, second by Teason. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting is adjourned.